And holy shit, you just killed a bug. My name is Adam.
And I'm Melissa.
And this is Below Freezing, a podcast in which we talk about films that have a Rotten Tomato score of 32% or less. Full disclosure, Melissa did just kill a bug down here. How do you feel about that?
I feel great.
I mean, it would have been a constant disturbance.
It would have.
Through the pod. And you killed that fucking thing.
I got
it. Yeah. Now, it wasn't a spider. That would have been me.
Definitely. But, I thought you were just going to leave it at, I killed a bud. A bud.
You smoked a hard bud before. You get.
But it was a gnat. Mm. But still, killed it. Was a little grossed out.
It's
out
of here. You know. It's out of here. Okay, so this is coming out on Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Trick or treat.
And why
not? I don't know why I just said it like
that. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Ooh, that's weird. I don't know what that is. You're like Swedish. Trick or treat. I don't know.
I am Danish.
Cool.
That sounded
it sure
Danish.
Did. Yeah. It's yep. The whole northern part of
there
Europe. Yeah. So we promised you, for some reason, a couple weeks ago, that we would do the Rob Zombie sequel to Halloween, aptly named Halloween 2. Who picked this film and why? We're gonna put this on me for sure. What are we trying to get through this? So I actually wrote this down. Ooh. What are you drinking right now? Do you know?
I'm drinking a sweet rosé.
A sweet rosé from St. Julien, which is a winery.
Is. And I picked out the wines.
You did.
I tried to theme it up.
Well, and so what did...
This one?
Yeah.
Well, it had lips on
it. It had lips on it. It
like
said
juicy lips.
Desire.
Like what I thought was a vampirous lips.
Yeah, sure,
you know?
Sure. Well, it also and that goes with mine. So I have a 19 Crimes red blend that had Dracula on it. So
which
you
was an actual like Halloween-y type one.
Yeah, yes. But I see what you did. Yes. I see what you did and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Can I tell you something? The thought that you put into the wine, more thought that went into this movie.
100%. So, I think it took me longer to pick out the wines. Than this movie being made.
So let's clink to the joke, and let's clink to the wine, and let's clink to getting through this fucking thing.
It. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was it. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for coming in. Okay, so Rob Zombie wrote and directed this shithole of a film. We talked about him the last time. I'm not going to reiterate anything else because I don't want to give him any more time on this podcast than I have to. Scout Taylor Compton is back as Laurie Strode slash Angel Myers. Malcolm McDowell is back as Dr. Samuel Loomis. Sherry Moon Zombie is back
I needed her.
As the mom. Brad Dourif is back as Sheriff Lee Brackett, and Danielle Harris is back as Annie, his daughter. I don't really want to even talk so much about the other kind of new characters. I want to talk about the cameos because there are a few in this. Now, Melissa, who was the Academy Award winner in this movie?
Octavia Spencer.
Yes. Now we should say I want to give. Brad Dourif is an Academy Award nominee.
You're right. Yes. For his character work, correct?
In One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's also known for Chucky. He didn't get nominated for Chucky.
Oh. Why did I think he did?
For Chucky?
Yeah.
Wow. You are a psycho.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I just thought that
you
was
went
like...
full Sherry Moon Zombie on me just then.
Oh, my God.
If only they could have seen the
Can I movie. Please dress up? As her for Halloween.
I'm not going to say no.
I have the stare down, definitely.
So, yes, Octavia Spencer in this movie.
As Octavia.
Now, that is just some... she's technically credited as Nurse Daniels, but clearly Nurse Daniels' first name is Octavia. Which is like... Now, do you think... Now, I'm literally wondering, do you think that Rob Zombie had them mic'd? And they were just talking. He's like, Octavia, we're so glad to have you here. As if, like, she was actually... Do you know what I mean? Because that seems way too random. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Hold on. Was that the actual line?
It's like, yeah. It's like, Octavia, we're so happy to... Something or other.
Oh, babe. I didn't even think of that. 100%.
That's amazing. So there's a couple other, though. There's a couple other. So Chris Hardwick played the talk show host who Chris Hardwick hosted. I think it was called Singled Out on MTV years ago. He hosted the Walking Dead post show.
That's how I recognize
yes.
him.
Okay. And Weird Al played himself for some reason. I don't know. There's a couple others, though. Now, did you recognize...
Dad?
No.
You know, the guy in the truck with his daughter and the other guy, and they, like, beat, like,
okay,
who
so
played Dad.
I was actually going to skip him. But his name is Mark Boone Jr. He was in, at least familiar to me, he was in Memento. He's the hotel guy. He's also in the Batman Begins. He's a bad cop.
That's how I remember him. Okay.
No, I was going to jump to, did you recognize the therapist? Her therapist at the beginning.
No, but her outfit was crazy and... God,
so
give me a hint because
played a very iconic character in the 70s,
like in a movie.
Yes,
like in a franchise of movies.
Actually, yes. So the
give
woman,
me another hint. Don't
no,
say
okay.
it.
I don't, babe. I don't.
Okay,
the movie. It was the like one of the original superhero movies.
Catwoman.
Okay, great. And that wasn't in the 70s.
Oh.
So, no, I'm talking about...
Wonder Woman.
Great. Nope.
Oh.
Can I please just give you the answer? Because you're not going to get it. Margot Kidder, who was Lois Lane.
Lois Lane.
In the original
Superman
movies. Yes. You were so not close.
No.
The last one, though. But mostly because... So, does the name, the character name of Buddy from the movie stand out to you? Who was Buddy? Do you remember Buddy?
Oh.
He didn't last long, Buddy.
You know, the only thing that's like really popping out to me about the name Buddy is Elf.
Okay, great. I meant the character of Buddy in this movie.
Oh, in this movie. I just thought you meant like
a
Buddy character.
Terribly different wavelengths right now. Buddy,
Buddy in this
who was
movie.
The like,
dog.
The security guard. Nope.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow, babe. You, wow.
God.
Listen,
I
know you're not doing very, like,
no, this
we don't
movie.
Need to bring in everything, but I know, but you're here, and we appreciate it. Buddy was the, like, the hospital guard
right.
guy.
Yes, and we know him from Grounded for Life.
Yes, so his name is Richard Real, and I think I might have told you this, but I am Facebook friends with Richard Real.
You did, yes.
So... And if I'd known he was in this, maybe I could have reached out and been like, hey, what was it like shooting this thing?
Oh, I'm joking. wow. I might die during this.
Wow. Well, don't say that.
You have to reach out to him and tell him that we did this. And just be like, can I get
see
your...
see if he actually responds. That would be so great. So, I don't have to talk about anybody else, do I?
No.
No. Okay, great. So moving on. This was up for one award. I have mentioned the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards before, Fangoria being the horror magazine. It was up for worst film. Did not win. Did not win. That went to the Friday the 13th remake. Now, we watched that. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
But here's what I would say. That's the wrong choice.
Yes.
It is the wrong choice.
Oh.
So, Melissa, how much of a budget do you think this movie had?
I know. I need to keep better track.
Please. Why?
I'm going to go with I think, because the first one did so well.
Okay.
This is my reasoning behind this.
I love it.
I mean, I shouldn't say so well, but it made money.
It did do better.
There we go.
Yes.
I think they were like, we could put a little more into this budget, hence some of the actors that made appearances.
Sure.
I know this was a baby before their time, but, you know. I wonder if Rob Zombie takes credit for Octavia Spencer's Oscar win.
He better fucking not.
I'm just saying.
He better not.
Okay. I'm going to go with $19 million.
Not bad, babe. Not bad. $15 million. I gotta say though, you have been crazy off before, so we're gonna chalk that up as a win.
Thank you.
Opening weekend, how much money do you think it made?
I'm gonna say
$2 million. Okay, you're $16 million.
Oh shit!
So it did make its budget back. in the opening weekend. Now, at the end of its U.S. run, how much do you think it made?
Oh, let's say 26.
33.
Okay.
Worldwide.
42.
39.
Okay.
Pretty close. So. Pretty close. It was the 84th highest grossing film of 2009 between movie we own but haven't seen, All About Steve, which is the Sandra Bullock, Bradley Cooper rom-com, and movie that we haven't seen that. It's bad. There is a How Did This Get Made episode about All About Steve.
I would watch anything with Sandra Bullock and Bradley Cooper.
And a movie called The Informant. Do you remember The Informant with Matt Damon? It's like a weird kind of satire comedy. Steven Soderbergh directed it. Matt Damon's a little bit bigger, has a mustache.
Know of it. I don't. Oh, right. I did watch it with you. Might have been a movie I fell asleep to.
This was a movie that we definitely got when we were going to Western, and that we definitely got through the old Netflix subscription disc in the mail.
That's right. Okay. I'm saying that's right like I actually know
like
that.
Like you actually remember it. Yeah.
But I remember the discs is what I'm saying.
Discs like a thing.
Yeah, you could get like one or three.
Or no, but not two.
I don't think you could get two. I think it was really like you could get one or three. Was there an option you could get two? Oh.
But not two.
Just one
Netflix
or three.
Netflix had a thing about even numbers. they didn't believe in it.
Wait, are you asking? Are there really? Was there a two option?
Yes. Okay. I pulled a review. Do you remember, does the name Perry Nemiroff send out to you? Probably not. I guess I'm asking you questions. This is not going well. She was on the Schmodown.
Perry. How did you say her name?
Perry Nemiroff.
The way you just said it was like Perry Nemiroff. Perry Nemiroff.
Perimnerov?
Yes. Okay. Sounded like you did one full name. Like, so I was thinking of a last name, but Perry, female, she is like a writer, a critiquer, a movie
critic.
Thinger.
Critic. There we go.
A movie thinger?
Yes.
And she was dating somebody on there.
No.
Nope. Okay.
Nope.
Now
you're thinking of the blonde. Nope. Okay. Anyways, I love you, by the way.
Thanks. It's been a really rough month.
It's been a fucked up day. I mean, we're not going to get into it, but holy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she wrote, she gave this film a whopping 1 out of 5 stars. But now that I've seen this movie, so she goes, when you're rebooting a film franchise, you obviously run the risk of not pleasing the fans. Disappointment is one thing, but the absolute disgust I felt after seeing Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 is inexcusable. At one point in the film, a character is accused of profiteering off the miseries of others, and that is exactly what Zombie will do if you see this movie. Wow. Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. So now we come to the point of the show where Melissa tries to guess the critical and audience Rotten Tomatoes scores. Here is the blurb. Zombie shows flashes of vision in the follow-up to his Halloween reboot, but they're smothered by mountains of gore and hackneyed brutal violence. I even disagree with that. Flashes, of vision, bullshit. Anyways, critical and then audience.
The rotten audience.
It's all rotten.
I'm going to say 11% critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this movie we could have done either way, so I'm going with 24% audience. There's a lot of sick people out there that like Rob Zombie, I feel like.
And while the numbers aren't high, both are higher than the numbers you gave.
What? Oh, my God. I can't.
You said 11?
Yes.
24.
And that's what I said my audience was.
Which was 44.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that seems a little high to me. Here are just some random things about some fun trivia, but most of these are just kind of silly nonsense. So John Carpenter, of whom we talked about last week with Ghosts of Mars, and obviously when we talked about Halloween because he directed the original, he was offered a cameo, turned it down. Smart move. Apparently, this is the first of the Halloween movies to have Michael walking around maskless. Before we hop in, how did that work for you?
Not well.
I hated it.
No.
I fucking hated it.
You know what it does is it humanizes him.
Yep.
And you can't have that in the Halloween. Well, you can't have that. Especially to something that is going to keep coming back to life.
Yes.
You have to give this like supernatural kind of like But the second we saw his eyes and his face, it was just too, I was like, what is this now? Well,
like, he grew a beard. He was like a haggard old man.
You know what he looked like? He looked like Tom Hanks in...
Oh, in Castaway?
In Castaway on roids. Big time.
That's funny. I like that.
like he was on that island for a long time with just a whole bunch of steroids.
So now, this movie was apparently produced by the now much, much, much maligned Weinsteins. And apparently Rob Zombie did not like working with. Apparently there was a lot of studio interference with this film, as if that was the reason why this movie sucks as much as it does. So apparently when they were shooting early on, Rob Zombie had to send film back to like producers to sort of view it and see how it was going. While the film was going through airport security, they were scanned by X-rays, which ruined the film. So days worth of shooting had to be reshot. The I don't know if you noticed, the kid who played the young Michael Myers in the first film was not in this one. He grew up too much, and so they had to recast him.
Oh my God.
So that's why, obviously, he looks like he does. These few things are interesting, though. So in an interview, Rob Zombie expressed how the exhaustion of creating The Predecessor made him not want to come back for a sequel, but after a year of cooling down, he was more open to the idea. He explained that with the sequel, he was no longer bound by his sense of needing to retain any John Carpenter-ness, as he felt free to do whatever. And oh boy, did he. There is also, believe it or not, babe, a director's cut.
Are you kidding me? How much longer?
It's 14 minutes longer.
And what? Are there just more
I think it's more of the second, actually. Oh, I think there's way more gore, we'll kind of get into that. There's an alternate ending where...
The alternate endings are no good.
Where apparently Sheriff Brackett orders Laurie to be shot at the end because of something that happens that's more... It's not her in the institution.
Right.
And apparently there was going to be a third one, but they chose not to do that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Because the way this ended, I was like, oh my God.
And instead they decided to put their money behind Scream 4. So that's how that all happened.
Oh, now, well, that's smart.
Now, Melissa, we were talking right before we started recording about how you could do the plot synopsis. I want you to do your best version of it. Okay.
Oh man. Okay. So we start out where Michael is young and he's in the institution and his mom's there and his mom is just like saying sweet things to him. And then, bam, we're 15 years, like, in the future. And what we're seeing is it's happening right after the second one ends.
The first one.
That's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. The first one ends, and everyone's going to the hospital, and we have this insane, like, opening of the people in the hospital dying, and Michael's there, and it takes us through just, I don't know. Suspense, I guess. And then bam, she wakes up and it's all a dream. And then we're like, wait a second, it's a dream. And she goes on living her life with some weird other dreams. And is it a dream or is it not a dream? And Michael's there, but I don't think that's Michael because he doesn't have a mask and he's turned into Wilson, right?
Well, Wilson
not
is
the
volleyball,
but
the
man that owned
guy.
Wilson.
Yes, yes.
And then we see that Lori has changed and she's no longer sweet bookworm. She's like
she's like a part of the Myers family,
right?
For real. Yeah.
And she's walking around town and she stops by a petting farm and we see the cutest little pig that we should have seen more of. And then Lori ends up dying.
Yeah, cool. Well, no,
not
but
dying.
She doesn't. Yeah.
Well, she kind of does.
Her soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I told you I could do this, I was like, I don't know how to say it. It's like this
there is
movie,
no plot.
Yeah, there's no plot.
That's what I thought you were going to do. I'm surprised you said as much as you did, to be perfectly honest.
It's like dream sequence, not dream sequence, and then dream sequence and not dream sequence, but then all of a sudden they fade in together and then you're like, wait a second, what the fuck? Who is a spirit? What's a dream? They're all in one scene together. This is never explained.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's fucking crazy and just bomb the town.
So
but take the pig out of there because that was a cute
pig. The movie opens up with a weird definition of sorts. And it starts with White Horse. linked to instinct, purity, and the drive of the physical body to release powerful and emotional forces like rage with envisioning chaos and destruction, which is an excerpt from The Subconscious Psychosis of Dreams. Now, this really is a strong attempt at trying to make this movie seem like it's more important or interesting than it really is. I have two things I really need to say, but because you mentioned it, we got to start with this dream stuff. So we do the stupid cutback to Michael when he's in the institution because we mentioned this white horse thing, which is such a forced, trite way into some kind of symbolism in this movie. It's bad.
But the symbolism doesn't even like hit. It's so far off. Like, honestly, every time we saw Mama Myers and her, because she's not even with the horse every single time we see her, which also didn't make sense. I just was like, this is some sick fantasy. Rob Zombie and his wife. Like, his wife was probably like, one day, you are going to put me in a movie with our pride horse. Like, our, you know, one, you know, they have this one horse that, like, she's probably just so in love with. And I'm going to be in a white dress, and it's just going to be this moment. And this is what it was. Like, I think so much of his stuff is, I'm going to highlight my wife in this, you know.
It's so weird.
I want so much of my music, and I want to see boobs, and I want to see blood, and like, it's some weird, sick fantasy. I feel like he is.
Well, and that's gonna come back to the other point I want to make. But the dream thing is, so we do the hard cut to 15 years later, and Laurie is basically walking from the site where she's shot, and then I'm gonna get to this stuff in a second. But basically, so much happens at the hospital. I mean, so many people have been killed. And then she wakes up from a dream. And so I'm curious to know what your feeling is on this, because the movie has not made it clear. Did those events happen at the hospital?
That's where I was confused. I thought it didn't. But then they mention how do police officers lose a body? So then it made me, but they never mention the accident, because I'm like, how did they lose a body?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
Because if they lost a body in transition, then you should have just shown that. But like, if what we saw, which was the police car hit a deer.
A cow.
And one of the guys, died from impact. The other guy got his head decapitated.
Yeah.
Cut off. They would have been able to figure that out. And the body's missing. And you're not going to go like, he did it, but he's still on the loot. Like, they don't acknowledge that.
Yes, but it's weird.
So it is very weird. It made me, I mean, I wrote like, wait, what, was this a dream? Was this not a dream? And then later I did an arrow, and I'm like, okay, what from that dream was fact?
Yes.
Versus, and that's where it lost me early on, honestly.
Yeah.
It really lost me early on because I was like, you just confused the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell's going on. We're now seeing Michael maskless. And it's just like, wow, this is.
Now, the other thing, and this is really going to kind of impact the conversation. And what I mean by that is in a duration of the episode way, because you know me, I will watch pretty much goddamn anything. I mean, I am a straight white male in my mid-30s. There isn't much in the world that actively offends me just based on who I am. And I've never used this to describe a movie before. But this movie is gratuitous.
Yeah.
This movie is actually the definition of that. The deaths that happen in and around the hospital scene are so over the top. In fact, even before that, we're basically watching surgery happen.
Yeah.
They are pulling glass off of her. They're pulling a fingernail off of her. They are sewing up her face in such graphic detail. And it's not even like, here's the thing. I don't mind when a movie is going to do that. But usually it's building to something, right? The really weird bad example I have is like in 127 hours when he has to cut off his own arm.
Okay, right.
Now that is obviously for a purpose. He was trapped and he did it. And it's shot that way because it really puts you in the mindset of this guy who had to do that. This, I wish I had a more technical term, is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything about it, like, every time Michael killed somebody, it was like 1, 2, 1, 2, 3 stab. And then you're like, okay, that's enough. And then he's like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Thank you.
And then,
yes.
And then it pulls away. And then he's like,
one
cut
more.
Off your head.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it right there. Like, it was just like, oh my God.
Yes.
You knew you're taking it too far. And you're just putting it like, you're taking it too far. And then you're taking it too far even more.
Yep.
I don't know.
And we talked about a maskless Michael Myers, but even when he was masked, do you know what else I didn't like? You could hear him grunting when he did it, which also humanized him.
Right.
Michael Myers, the whole thing about him is that he is a force of evil that we can't explain.
Right.
But if we see his face and we hear him making human sounds, that all goes away.
Right.
So what is this movie?
Okay, I'm going to kind of skip around for a minute because there were two characters that stuck out to me.
I hope you say one, like in a good way?
No.
Or no? Oh, okay.
There were two characters that stuck out to me and I was like, why? Like, why put these two characters in and give us kind of that feel and not have it go further? The first one was the sick EMT or driver who was about like
who talked about
having sex
how
with
he would
dead
fuck,
bodies.
Fuck a corpse, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And honestly, the way that scene was going this is weird. I thought what was gonna happen was he was going to kill the driver. And then he was gonna let Michael Myers out. Like, that's kind of where I thought it was happening because I was like, this is the second one.
You didn't see the cow coming.
I didn't see it, actually. Did you?
You mean did I foreshadow that they would run into a
right?
cow?
Yeah.
No, I did. I unfortunately did not.
So that's where I thought it was going because I was like, this guy's a little sick. And then I was like, okay, this guy is going to help him because how does he escape at this point? You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
We know he's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I thought was happening. And that didn't happen. The second guy was at the book signing and he was like Chet or whatever his name was. Like, do you know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, honestly, the way he was acting, like, he's a serial killer.
Yes.
Like, that guy right there is a serial killer. And I thought. Wait
Chet, the bringer of death.
Is he going to take part of this? Like, I don't know. In this movie, I was thinking, there's got to be another twist or turn or somebody is going to be helping him. Like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And when these two weird characters kind of came in and left, I was like, this, what the fuck? Like, those must have been just his friends. And he was like, sure, I'll make a scene for you. And he's like, his friend was like, oh my God, please call me Chet the Bringer of Death. And he's like, got it. I'll fit you in. Like,
well,
I think that's,
you know,
what started happening.
Well, I mean, I think that's very funny. But like, that guy is actually was on Grimm, that show that was on NBC for a while. We never really watched it, but
oh, was he the main guy?
He was one of the main guys.
Oh.
Yeah, but like,
I watched Grimm.
But the problem is like, I wish that was true. I wish this guy was writing parts for his friends. Unfortunately, I think this was Rob Zombie being true Rob Zombie, who just has a complete misguided, fucked up view of the world. I mean, I really do. And it's,
God.
I mean, I really don't have anything other way to say it. Like, there are so many parts of this movie. I mean, I just kept writing, this movie is gross. And like, if it had just been gory, that would have been one thing. But then there's a whole, I'm not even going to say the joke, but what's the difference between jam and jelly? You remember that joke?
Oh,
that was gross joke.
Say that joke.
Like, that's what I mean. Like,
oh, it's so sick.
Everything is way more something than
graphic.
It needs to
way
be.
More
yes.
Graphic, yeah. You know, another thing. Okay, so we know Lori doesn't know that her, she's related. Okay?
Yes. Yep.
What we do know is you live that last movie. You live the first Halloween. Why the fuck are you still living
in Haddonfield?
In Haddonfield.
Oof.
I mean, multiple times I was like, how do you still live there? How do any of you still live there? Like,
Witness Protection Services,
whatever. That's what?
No, that wouldn't be. That wouldn't happen for this. Witness protection from a body they can't find? Like, there's no way. There's no way.
Whatever. Change her name.
Okay.
You could do. What is Witness Protective Services for then?
It's for people who are like ratting, like basically giving information on a crime that they feel like there could be a retaliation for. Like that, like
that's the only thing for. They can't save you from like somebody really trying to like come after you.
You can be protected. Like there's protection while that's happening, but like witness protection is when they like is when you change your name and you move.
Yeah,
but that's not for this. That wouldn't happen for this.
Well, in this movie, it totally could have.
Well, but in this movie, Lori/Angel is seeing people and being held down by nobody. Like this movie makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
But I actually was going to disagree with you.
Oh.
Because I think she's living with the sheriff, with her friend that she knows. She like there's a sense of maybe feeling protected. They clearly don't live in Haddonfield anymore. Like they seem to be like in a farmhouse on the outside of. Or maybe it's like it is still town, but it's on the outside
of it.
It's
Haddonfield unincorporated.
Yes, exactly. It's not really a part of Haddonfield. By the way, do you remember the name of the coffee shop she worked at?
Oh my God.
I'm just out of curiosity.
I don't remember it, but I remember it was crazy. It was like.
Now, would you. I just want to know.
Something meat?
Yeah. Would you ever go? Would you ever attend a place called Uncle Meat's Java Hole? Because I got to tell you, that sounds like where the poop comes out. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. You know.
This is going to be a hard cut right here. And we're still going to be laughing about the thing that we
cut. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a gross name.
Keep that cut.
It's a gross name. We're going to keep the hard cut, but not what we cut.
No, you're.
I'm cutting what we cut, but I'm keeping when I said hard cut. Because that's funny. And all this, too. okay, so you were talking about the characters that you don't, right? You were talking about.
Oh, yes. You want to talk about the characters you liked?
Well, I got to say, and this is my savior of the film was Brad Dourif as the sheriff. In fact, early on, I actually got to say, I thought his performance as the sheriff throughout, I really liked, actually. It was like the one thing that felt real.
Authentic.
In the movie. Yeah.
No, I agree. I have to say, though, when I saw that pig, everything went out the window. And I was like, that pig stole the show.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if she actually would have stolen that pig? That would have been a whole different movie. Didn't she? She's like, I'm going to take you with me.
And they run away. Oh, my God. And they just live their best life. That would be pretty amazing.
What a weird turn that would have been for this movie. It's just like
sunshine, lollipops,
and rainbows. Okay.
I want to know, like, the real story is what? What the fuck happened in her bedroom/bathroom, like, before the bloody mess? Like, did you guys move into this abandoned farmhouse and then just didn't clean? And so, you were like, I'm just gonna, you know, graffiti the walls. And, like, honestly, I was like, the story about Lori's transition, change, like, from goody two shoes to whatever this is.
Yeah.
And her decorating her room. That is a movie itself. Like, I want to see that movie. It was very, like, to me, I was like, this is gross. But it really just, it just made me go, like, what is Rob Zombie thinking? Like, you really are making a, did you get it?
Yeah.
Nice. You're really making a movie that you're just trying to be as gross and graphic, I guess, as you possibly can. And that is down to, like, the grout in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, but it was like that grout and backsplash is what was in the Saw room that people are like.
Yeah.
Like, it really was like, is that needed?
Babe.
That detail? Like, that level of detail?
In this movie,
it really is just.
Michael Myers eats a dog in this movie.
Well, that's how he stayed alive for.
But like that doesn't. Oh my God! Nothing really made sense. I mean, really. I mean, even to the point of Dr. Loomis all of a sudden being like a weird semi-celebrity who's kind of a fucking douchebag. Like,
who then all of a sudden, which let's talk about this moment. He is a douchebag.
Yeah.
And he's up in his penthouse with a glass of wine looking over. Haddonfield is where? Illinois? So where the hell was he? Because let me tell you, that penthouse is nowhere near Haddonfield.
That's a... What okay. a great question.
And he's up there sipping his wine, looking out the window, and he hears this stuff, and he's on
well
scene, like right then and there.
That is... I mean, here's the thing. So there's a trope, really, in horror movies about how do the killers get to where they're going so fast, whatever. Now most of the time, like there's a certain suspension of disbelief where we don't quite know how much time has passed or whatever, and you just kind of buy it, right? Now, this one, I'm with you on, totally. Like, it makes no sense. Like, he clearly is in a nice hotel, not in Haddonfield,
right?
Close by, because remember the day before he was there trying to, you know, take a picture outside of the Michael Myers house, right?
Right.
The one that gets me, though, even more than that, is when Michael Myers kills the sheriff outside of the house and somehow gets upstairs into the bathroom to kill the friend without any, but like that one to me is like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, he's so tall. He probably just stepped onto the second story and then like went right into the window. Like he just was like, boop, boom, right there.
He just Slenderman'd his way up to the top.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
But so with Dr. Loomis, it's like he's in his tower and then all of a sudden he's there and he's like, let me help you. Like he's like trying to be righteous all of a sudden out of nowhere where it's like you just wrote a book and the way you've been acting is what did he say? He said he's here for the sizzle, not the...
Oh, not the steak.
The steak. And it's like, okay, well, the steak is the meat of the story. And that is like, if you actually cared, that's what you'd be for. Well, the sizzle is you're going to fuck everybody over, which he did. And you're going to put things in this book that you probably shouldn't. So right at the end, you're going to be like, I'm going to be righteous and help you. So when he died, I was like, good.
And
fucking die.
And I get that Rob Zombie, in that, even that little thing that I read to you about him, like not basically being bound to any kind of thing that had been done before. It's just like, I have not seen all of the original Halloweens, right? Like where Donald Pleasance is Loomis. I haven't seen all of them. But the whole idea is that Loomis as a character feels such guilt for not having helped him that he almost becomes like a detective in the later movies. Now, mm-hmm. Now, for anybody who knows these movies well, I could be off because I haven't seen 4, 5, and 6. But I know that that's part of it. But for Loomis to all of a sudden be like, I don't care about any of that. Like there's going your own way. And then there's like a doing a big fuck you to the franchise.
Oh, it's like, let me just piss on everything. And that's what he kind of did.
And Malcolm McDowell is a good actor who like is terrible in this movie. He's awful in this movie. And that's awful to say because I like him as an actor, but he is really not good in this. Like outside of Brad Dourif, like, and I got to say, and like, I don't know if we ragged on her in the first one, but Scout Taylor Compton
is
not good in this.
I feel like I didn't mind her as much in the first one. This one, I'm like, oh, you are awful. And I bet like your director gave you the worst notes. Like it just, yeah. No, I did not like her.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And I really, truly did not understand the white horse, white woman, little kid ghost. Like, what are you trying to say? Like, because she's a Myers, she's like somehow linked spiritually to them. Spiritually?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yes.
But it just seemed, oh God, it just seemed, babe, it just seemed so weird. I know this movie was called Halloween. I know, like, I don't even know how to finish it. We shit on the first one, I felt like. I didn't like it.
We didn't like it. That is correct.
I definitely liked it more than this one. Like, I'd be like, at least we saw, like, I don't know.
You could see where it was. You could see where it was trying to do its own riff on the original Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and really outside of some extension of Michael's childhood, once we get to present day times, it's Laurie in high school with her friends. She's babysitting. It's all of the tropes, all of the same basic beats are there.
Yeah.
But this one, it's a big departure, and not in a good way. Now, you don't know. Now, this is going to be news to you as well as to our audience. So this is episode 99, right? Mm-hmm. So the next one that we do, which I think we've mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned on mic, but I'll say it now, because we're going to. So the first episode that we ever did was a movie with Mark Wahlberg called The Happening.
Yep.
So our 100th episode is going to be The Planet of the Apes that he was in, that Tim Burton directed. But when we do our kind of like the second part of that episode, which is going to be like, hey, it's been 100 episodes, we're going to go season by season. And I want to know what you think is the best of the best of the worst and the worst of the worst. And I got to tell you right now, for season 4, the season that we're in, this is a strong potential front runner for it, because I am rarely offended and turned off by movies. I could be bored and not like them.
Right.
But this was just outright gross.
Yeah.
And not in a way that built upon it in any way that paid off in a way that made sense. There was no payoff to it. It was just gross.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So
I personally do not have it was hard for me to take notes. You know, we set our saviors. What is this movie missing? Tact.
Yeah.
A plot. I could keep going.
I mean, you know what? It's definitely. You know what? It has plenty of shots of white horses. There's plenty of white horses in this movie.
Yeah.
Right. That's a thing.
Which I didn't think. I think I'd ever say that. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. All the white horses.
All the white horses in this movie.
Yes. Tact is great as a response.
Yeah.
It's not what this movie is missing, but like, I don't know how to answer this exactly, but I think what this movie could do with is poor Octavia Spencer had to be in this movie 2 years before she wins an Oscar. Like, well, I don't want to take her out, because what I love about it is like you show this movie or that clip to be like, look at this. This is a journeyman actor, right? She, look at her going through the shit movies to build her way up. And now, right. And then she wins Oscars. And
I also feel like she would not discredit this. Like, I feel like she would be like, I did it.
Oh.
Like, well, you know, she seems like the personality that would be like, I did it. And it was, you know, whatever. But like, I could see her just being that kind of person. Whereas some people are like, no comment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. I just could see her as. She just seems like Miss Positive, which also made it very hard to watch her die.
Well, considering that her name was also Octavia.
Yeah.
It was like she was dying in the movie.
Well, I have to say, when she came through that door and like you could tell that she got like cut in the face.
Ugh.
And she was just standing there and just like owning it at first. I was like,
well,
what a tough bitch. Yes.
It's like that's the thing, though, with some of these movies is. The actors' versions of shock sometimes are interesting, because some people are so shocked that they can't do anything. And sometimes their reaction is just screaming the entire time.
Which is like 99%
yes,
of these.
But her slow reaction and then the scream was like, I bought it.
Yeah.
You could see an Oscar winner in there.
100%.
So is it – now listen – I think it's question time.
It is question time.
Great. Melissa.
Yes.
Do you think that Halloween 2 is a good bad movie or a bad bad movie?
Oh God, this is a tough one. I'm kidding. It was a bad bad movie.
This movie
was a bad bad. This bad 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 bad.
This movie
bad.
Sucks.
I can keep going.
It is god god fucking awful.
Every time you pressed that remote and we saw that it was just like, we're only 5 minutes in, and then we're like, wait, now we're only 10 minutes in? You didn't hit it that many.
I was going to say, this is what is happening.
Oh, we still have 40 minutes left of the movie.
That was the one. When we looked and there was 40 minutes left, I really thought that this day couldn't get any worse. And then it did. Wow. It really did. So that's what we think of Halloween 2. I don't want to tell you to not watch it, but listen to the episode. But if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
Yeah.
But we'd love you to listen. And you can follow us in all the places where, you know, you can get podcasts. We're on Instagram and X or Twitter or whatever the fuck it's called. But Melissa, our next episode is 100.
That's crazy.
100 episodes of us yakking about weird shit.
I know.
So you better, like,
I'm excited.
Get your game face on. I'm going to have some questions for you. I already mentioned one of them.
Have you gone through, like, from the beginning to see, like, what we said yes and no at the end? Like, if it's a good bet or a bad bet?
This is great. I've never kept track of that.
Because I'm just saying, maybe I have to do that. Because it would be very interesting to see, like, you know, I mean, you would remember. I guarantee you. If I asked you every movie, do you think it was a good, bad, or a bad, bad movie? You would get 99% of them correct.
Oh, wow.
You might miss one. You might.
Okay.
If you asked me, I think I would get maybe like 9% correct.
What I think is going to be more fun, though, is to go through and maybe ask the question without having seen the movie lately and just see what we, from what we remember, what we would say.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be fun, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, though, it's going to be chaos. I'm sure it'll be a two-parter because we'll do our full episode on Planet of the Apes, and then we'll have our second half. And,
yeah.
You know. But anyways, until our next shitty film, which will not be Halloween 2, I am Adam.
And I'm Melissa.
And thanks for tuning in.